Okay. Sure. So let's deal with the general question, which will answer this question also. Okay? I was once sitting by a very, very big rav, and I was talking to him, and I had a list of questions. And as I'm talking to him, someone knocks on the door. And he ignores it. And they start knocking louder. And he ignores it. He's talking to me. And they start knocking frantically. And he ignores it. And they open the door and they walk in. So, they say, look, there are people on the phone. They have this and this halachic question. They're standing at a cemetery. They want to know if they should do the burial this way or this way. And they need to know now. Everyone's standing there. So the rabbi motions to him, like, don't bother me now. So I knew I had been chasing this rabbi for a long time to talk to him. And I knew that he was doing it because, like, he felt he owed me the time. I had finally gotten a hold of him, and he had told me he'll give me this time. So I said, I don't mind if the rabbi wants to go answer. I'll wait. I don't care. So he said, no. So I said, what will be? So he said to me, one of two things. Either they'll ask someone else, or they'll do one of the two options. So when I heard that, I thought that's a very cynical answer. They're going to do something. They're not going to leave the body out to rot. So they'll decide. So maybe it's not the correct halachic answer. But he was basically answering me, and it took me a long time to swallow this answer. It took me a really long time. I was sitting there, and I was feeling like, hey, you have such a responsibility. They want to ask you. They want to do what's right. They want to know what to do. How come you're not going to answer them? So what I understood after time is that people sometimes are in a situation where they're asked every second. And sometimes you have responsibilities. You guys sometimes come here and I unplug the phone. You know how badly I feel before I unplug a phone? I think 15 times before I unplug the phone. This morning, my son was sleeping. I was on my way into the shower. And I had a feeling I'm going to get a phone call from the United States. So I'm already ready. I'm in the shower and the phone rings. So I go out of the shower. And I answer the phone and I sit and I talk to the guy a half hour. And I knew there goes the minion I want to go to. And that's it. I'm not going to make the minion I want to. And I wasn't even sure if I was going to make a shower this morning. I think 10 times before I disconnect the phone. But sometimes when a person comes to you and he sits down and he wants to talk, so part of what you owe every person is to say, I'm disconnecting the phone. I can't be everywhere. I can't answer everyone at any given time. It's not feasible. And you'll say, well, what will the world do? Well, if I didn't exist, what would the world do? There are other people to ask. And if they can't get a hold of other people, so who says any specific person has an obligation to be available to everyone all the time? It's impossible.
Okay, but aren't there
priorities? Give me one second. Oh, so there are priorities. One of the priorities are to give certain people who, if you're their Rebbe, you have to give them the answer you could, and this person was my Rebbe, still is, to give them the time that they deserve. And because he knew that there's no time that he could sit down and talk to me that he won't have emergencies calling. There's no such thing by him. He gets questions all the time, every day. So this second it's this person, and in 5 seconds it'll be someone else, and in 5 seconds it'll be someone else. So he knew that his first priority is to give time to his students, and at some point he has to call it quit, enough. Now, that's on one front. That's on one level, because just to balance, you're coming with a perspective, you have to answer. If people have a question, you have to answer. Yes, to an extent. The next level is, I was at by the Shiva of Rav Pesin. So we were discussing there. He's a Rav who I learned by. And I told his son that he always told me that this is a new thing, that rabbis have hours. In Europe and in his time, there was no such thing. Whenever you wanted, you called, you came, and the rabbi's responsibility was known as always to be there and talk to people when they want to come. There's nothing you can do. And he had very, very strong words to say about anyone who doesn't do that. He said, he quoted from the Gemara about one of the 10 Asar Arugei Malchus who was being tortured to death, and he asked his fellow man, why is this happening to me? And the other rabbi told him, did you once eat a little bit too much so that you slept a little bit more, and a person came to you with a question and you weren't available to answer him because you slept because you ate a drop too much, He said, if you did that once, then you deserve what you're getting. And that's the weight he held every rabbi has. So we were discussing this at the Shiva, and then his son told me, he said, yeah, but on your answering machine you say don't leave messages. So what about what my father told you? So I told him two things. I said, firstly, I only get home at 11 o'clock at night, earliest. So I can't start calling people back. People leave messages, they expect me to call them back. I come home, there are 20 messages. I can't start calling people at 11 o'clock at night, let alone returning 20 phone calls. I can't. Secondly, I told him, you should know that even your father who said that never returned the phone call. I left the messages and he never called me back. So I said, it must be that he held that it's a responsibility of a Rav to be available when he could be available. But not to start calling people back and coming home and finding 15 messages and start calling people back. You can't, there's a limit. At some point, you gotta say there is a limit.
The Moses had to divide into the elders and the elders into the...
These are practical issues.
So that's on the front of what's practical, what you could do. And if a person feels like he's not focused enough, so then he shouldn't answer. And that brings us to the second level. And that is that a person has a responsibility to give the answer that's right. And very often, if you guys ask me questions, I tell you, I don't know. What I know is such and such. And almost always you'll notice that's when I have to be stringent. I always feel like if I know enough to be lenient, then I'll answer. If I don't know enough to be lenient, so what I know, I could draw a conclusion that's stringent, but maybe someone else will figure out a way to be lenient. So almost always when people call, if I know the answer that I know is as lenient as can be, or I know there's no way out, come on, this is halacha, so I'll answer. But otherwise, I'll very often say, you know, I think like this, I don't see a way out, but ask someone else. And this is true regarding leniencies, but this is also true regarding any halacha. A person, there was once a kohen that wanted to marry a grusha. He's a kohen and he wanted to marry a woman that's divorced. And the rabbi sent a question to Rabbi Feinstein. He asked him, can I marry them? If I don't marry them, then they'll be living without a halachic marriage. They'll transgress A and B and C. And why shouldn't I marry them off? They're forbidden. He's forbidden to marry her. But at least, if he marries her legally, so he'll be transgressing because a kohen's not allowed to marry a divorcee. But at least this aspect he won't be transgressing. So Rabbi Feinstein writes him in the letter, he proves to him that it's not only forbidden for the kohen to marry a grusha, but it's also forbidden for the rabbi to marry them. And we have a principle in halacha that says, we don't say, tachteh kedei she'yizkecha v'cha. We don't tell one person, you do a light sin so that your friend won't do a heavy sin. Every person is responsible not to sin, period. Like I told you guys the story about the guy who called Rabbi Feinstein and said, I'm going to shoot myself in the head or I'm going to eat pork. Which one should I do? And he said, I'm counting to 60. And as he was counting, 1, 2, 3, Rabbi Feinstein spent the whole 60 seconds telling him, you're not allowed to shoot yourself in the head, and you're not allowed to eat pork, and you're not allowed to shoot yourself in the head, but you're not allowed to eat pork. All 60 seconds he was telling him that. Why? Because as a rabbi, you can't say something that's wrong. You have to say what's right. You can't say what's right, so don't say anything, but you can't say what's wrong. You can't. So if a person is competent to say what's right, good. If the scenario allows him to say what's right, good. And if not, let him be quiet. You can't say, well, I have to help him out. No, this is the predicament. I can't do better than that.
What did the guy do?
I don't think the guy shot himself in the head.
Did he report?
I don't know. I don't know if anyone ever discovered who the guy was. I don't know.
We always talk about, like, talking to your Rebbe about this or that. Like, I'm speaking in general terms here. Isn't there something to be said for knowing what to do?
For sure.
Like,
ideally you should know what to do. Every person is responsible to know the Torah. The halacha says if a woman gets a divorce and gets remarried, and then it's discovered that her divorce wasn't legally a good divorce, so she has to bring karban. So you say, why does she have to bring karban? She couldn't have done better. Why does she have to bring karban? What could she have done? She went to the rabbis. The rabbis wrote up the get. What does she know about how you write up a get? How you do the procession? What's it her fault? So we see from this that even a woman is responsible at some level to learn the Torah and know the laws. She, at some point, we hold her accountable. It's just like you can't walk into the judge and say, well, I didn't know the law. Any person could say, I ran a red light, I didn't know the law.
So far,
the laws always assume you're supposed to know the laws or verify them till you know them. So this is true here too. Every Jew is responsible to know the laws. And if you can't verify it by asking this rabbi, so ask another rabbi. You have to know.
So would you say that's what I think when I asked the question that I asked about a few minutes ago, I asked it not because the time has already come and passed with the laundry.
Why?
But I still would like to know if I did the right thing or not. Okay. I would still like to know what the right thing to do in that situation.
Talk about it. Right. I agree, you should know. I don't know what to tell you, but you should know.
Okay, so you... Okay.
No, I'd like to tell you. I can't tell you what I don't
or
know.
Or also you mentioned it could be that you shouldn't have done laundry at all, and I would like to know why...
If a rabbi told you you should do laundry, you should do laundry. All I meant was that people shouldn't derive from it. Okay, I just meant that people shouldn't derive a misunderstanding from it. Because I think there were more details to what the rabbi said to you.
Who would you say it's...
Hey, I don't, you might not have noticed. I don't mind. Fine.
No, he asked me who it was. I'd rather not tell everyone at one time. But it's
Tell each one of us individually.
Yeah.
Why, historically, then, you see this obligation to learn all the laws.
End up with a rabbi.
Yeah, right.
To learn all the laws that are applicable today. And we see that for hundreds of years, when most women, even today, are not.
Don't tell.
There's not any emphasis on that.
That's a long answer. We have to see if we have time for that tonight.
I hardly understand sociologically women weren't. They were, I mean, you saw in Europe the Bet Yaakov that started like in the 1920s. Women till then, most women didn't know how to even read. And the rabbis, great of the rabbis, they just, I don't understand it.
Okay.
And it seems to have like sapped into also to the Jews that somehow women, to a certain don't have this obligation. Right. A lot of people don't know that.
No.
So, well, that's a class in and of itself.
Who should I give this book to?
Would you recommend a person, or a Rafi, if they're from Baal Shiva, should just learn halacha, like straight halacha?
And said yes.
Until then, like, fully first, and then do Gomorrah, Mishnah, and
so what we said is that what every person should do is have a Seder in Kitzur Shulchan Aruch or Chayyadam, and even though that's only on the surface, but it'll give you a picture at least what the basic halacha is and what you could ask. I don't know first. It's very difficult to spend all day learning it. So it's a good thing to do on the side. You do a half hour a day, 45 minutes a day, take good notes, you review. You do that for a year, you'll have a very good picture of halacha. It can't be that people are learning in Machon in a year, and this happens all the time, and they don't know that they have to grow pace. People don't know. We have class every year, but I can't cover it all. People don't know they have to grow pace. People don't know that they're not allowed to shave with a razor. People don't know they're not allowed to be alone with a woman. There are basic halachot which you're not going to encounter in your Gemara learning. People don't know they're not allowed to touch a girl. People don't know, I mean, there are basic halachot every person has to know. And people don't know them. People know they have to wear a kippah. People know they have to wear tzitzit. People know they have to put on tefillin and daven three times a day. But you ask a person, are you allowed to take interest from another Jew? Either they encountered it or not. There are so many halachot and everything is so new. It can't be you finish a year at the machon, you don't know. So that's why we're trying. That's what the goal of our Friday class is, which today is probably going to be cancelled because we're running so late, to run through much of halachot so that you have a picture. But people have to. Rav Amnon Yitzchak, they say, he says that he was already teaching other people and he was still shaving with a razor. He didn't know. He says, I started learning. I got so excited about learning Torah. I started teaching other people and I was sharing with a razor. I didn't know it was forbidden. He didn't know. So he's teaching and he doesn't know. Okay. It could happen, but a person has to cover ground so that it shouldn't happen. This happens all the time. It's not one time. It happens every year. Guys come to Mahon and you see, I mean, there are guys come to Mahon, they're drawing and writing on Shabbos. Okay, so they don't know. There's nothing wrong with not knowing, but you have to learn. It can't be that a guy finishes here and he doesn't. You're spending time on one. You're asking me if a person should spend all day on it. No, you can't spend all day on it. You'll go nuts. You won't get anything. But you should cover the ground. That's part of what we're trying to do in the Chumash class, to get a general picture of all the mitzvot. But
well, there's a book by the Chafetz Chaim on the mitzvot.
Fine, that's good, but it's better to do the Chayadam or Kitzur Shulchan Aruch because you need a shorthand version. You don't need to know the intricacies of which shaver you could buy. That you'll ask your rabbi anyways. But you have to have a general picture. You have to know what's permitted and what's forbidden. A person has to know that on Shabbos you can't turn on a light, on Shabbos you can't write, you can't take a picture, you can't do anything electric, you can't talk on the phone. You have to have a picture, what's basics. Fine. So a person has to have a picture. I'm not allowed to touch a lamp. That's mukhs on Shabbos. There are basics every person should cover. Yeah.
I'm fascinated with this Moshe when he ascends. Yeah. He seems. I know we have to have reverence for Hashem. We have to have reverence for our elders. We have to have reverence for our friends. We especially have to have reverence for Hashem. It almost seems like. I'm not saying he's being reverent, but I'm saying he's not accepting Hashem's decree. Yeah, he's saying Hashem.